that portion of the Word of God that we shall read and consider this afternoon. The Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 through 24, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Let us pray. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, especially the two of you, Rachel and Samuel, it is a wonderful time to be alive, to live under the blessing of God, in a world that He made for you. And to enter into that holy arrangement that God instituted in paradise before sin came into this world. Just as surely as God joined Eve to Adam in paradise, so surely God joins Rachel to Samuel in Marshall, Michigan, which I am sure is a fine community, but certainly no heaven on earth. But that there is no heaven on earth is no reason to doubt that God in heaven joins the two of you together today. How do we know? We know because Moses, whom the Holy Spirit directed to record for us an historical account of God marrying Eve to Adam, appeals to that original marriage as the pattern for all subsequent marriages. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. When I was your age, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was fighting the battle for the Bible. Prominent professors at prestigious educational institutions gave public voice to their doubts about such things as the historicity of Adam and Eve. One fellow who taught at Valparaiso University argued that it didn't matter if Adam and Eve ever existed, because it has nothing to do with the proper distinction between the law and the gospel. He thought he was a real Lutheran. After all, Lutherans believe that a proper distinction between the law and the gospel is the key to understanding the Bible. Well, he was only partly right. Knowing the law, knowing the gospel, and knowing the difference is crucial to our lives, especially to our marriages. But so is the historicity of Adam and Eve. It happened. God removed a rib from Adam's side, and from it he made a woman. space and time. It matters that Adam and Eve were real historical people and that their marriage to each other actually happened just as the Bible says it did. One of the reasons there's so much confusion these days about marriage is that people believe that we are free to invent our own versions of sexuality and marriage. And the idea that God made us either male or female and designed marriage to be a lifelong union between one man and one woman is regarded as one option among many. But this is what God established. It's what he did. If you want a marriage that is a marriage, it must be the marriage that God established in the beginning. And in these words that God gave Moses to write, we learn about man, woman, and marriage. A woman is like a man, but she is not a man. She is taken from the man, and she becomes one flesh with the man from whom she was taken. If she hadn't been taken from the man, she would not be the same as he, but while being the same, she's also different. She's a woman. She's not a man. She is comparable to him. He and she go together. They belong together. They have the same source, the God who made them in his image, and this is how they can identify with each other. To ground your marriage in the marriage of Adam and Eve is to acknowledge that God is joining the two of you together as one flesh. God brought Eve to Adam. God brings Rachel to Samuel. Adam calls her a woman because she was taken out of man. Later on, he gave her the name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. But who is Adam to name Eve? He is her head, and she is his body. Rachel Heidenreich becomes Rachel Preuss. She takes the name of him who is her head. God joins woman to man. God arranges the head to serve the body and the body to submit to the head's service. That's the way it works. That's the way God made it. Of course, we know the objections. We've been listening to them for a long time. The biblical Christian view of marriage is considered to be sexist and demeaning to women because submission is degrading, dehumanizing, and a few other bad things. Don't you believe it? That's the opinion of people who don't know Christ. But if you don't know Christ, you don't know what headship is, and you don't know what submission is. And here is where the proper distinction between law and gospel comes in. The law is what God requires us to do in obedience to his holy will. He teaches the man he must love his wife as he loves his own body, that he must care for her, that he must sacrifice himself for her, that he must be faithful to her. That's the law. It's his duty. And God teaches the woman she must submit to her husband. She must honor him as her head. She must be faithful to him. That's the law. It is her duty. The law is all most people hear or know. And so they look at headship and submission and they think, well, let's see. I like headship better than submission. And so they dismiss the traditional Bible-based Christian view of marriage as hopelessly out of date and misogynistic.